Noel, thank you, thank you, thank you for this invitation. It means more than I can ever express to both Peggy and to myself. Thank you. You've changed the color of the ceiling, I see. I like it. Anne. Oh. The truth will always be that we left a large part of our hearts in this place. And that can never be altered. Real love always works that way, doesn't it? At least I think so. That's my experience. Now, of all the sermons I have experienced in my 53 years of priesthood, there are three that stand above all the rest. The first is the Sermon on the Mount. If one were to combine all the TED Talks thus far created and all the TED Talks to be created, they would not compare to this clear recipe of how we should relate to our God, to all of life, and to one another. The second was preached in the deep pine woods of central North Carolina. I had accompanied the body of our greatly beloved sexton, Mac. He had collapsed in the little kitchen out here. And wonderfully, I just have to share this. Christchurch wouldn't ship him off to some nursing home in Washington. No. Christchurch took him to Woodbine, and he was on either side of parishioners until his death. Well, I took his body back to be buried in the family plot next to an African-American Baptist church. The pastor was a gentle soul, a non-stipendary cleric who had come from his day job to look after that family and to conduct the service. In his sermon, he rendered assurances of the resurrection that had been imprinted permanently on my memory. He radiated a faith as no other preacher I have ever experienced, and ended this dissertation on the reality of the resurrection by singing words from that African-American hymn, "That Great Waking Up Morning." Tingles still run through me at the thought of it, and my faith in the resurrection, always enriched by thoughts of that day and of that service. Now let me say about a child making sounds, okay? Read the 10th chapter of Luke's gospel, all right? Anything that child or any other child cares to do is fine with me. The rest of you people, behave yourselves, all right? The third sermon was preached some 44 years ago from this very pulpit. Preached by the Right Reverend John Elbridge Hines, then the recently retired presiding bishop of our church, a real hero. In it, Hines compared parishes to people, and I quote, "Some parishes, like some people, are fragile, rising and falling with the good fortune with which they are served, reacting to crisis, but largely by default. Some parishes, like some people, are simply shallow. They will polish and manicure themselves, but live with a gnawing anxiety that some intruder will try and probe beneath the surface and they will be embarrassed by what is discovered. Some people, like some parishes, are retired. They have seemingly exhausted their renewable assets. They are content to live on their pensions and accumulated endowments. Occasionally, they will reflect on the triumphs of the past, gather to admire their trophies, but no longer gird for the never-ending summons to live and to create and to serve and to sacrifice and to grow. He concluded, some parishes happily, like some people, are monumental in their strength and sensitivity and dedication. They exude an aliveness and vitality that is born of strong convictions coupled with compassionate courage. Such parishes are always questing, 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 and are unafraid of what that questing in the name of the Lord Christ is bound to encounter." End quote. The spirit to quest must first begin within me and within each of you. We are built by the divine for action. We are made by our Creator for discovery and for exploration. We are imprinted permanently on our memory the desire to do. We are those who are created by our God with a yearning for wisdom and knowledge and for the glimpses of the unknown. And I come here today to say to you, I believe with all my heart and with all my being that so much of that yearning is deeply and always to be found in our desire to know God. Not simply to know God, but to serve God and to experience the mystery and the sublime awe of the divine working in and through our lives. And for me, what grows out of that awe is the recognition that we individually and corporately as a parish family hold, we do, each of us, the power to fashion to some degree God's kingdom in this place and in every element of our very living. It is a kingdom where the poor and the sick are cared for. It is a kingdom where the fallen are lifted up. It is a kingdom where the seemingly lost and rejected are sought out and embraced. God has created us for this, to take our love along with our joy, our faith, our hope, our sufferings, our very grace that guides us in everything, and take hold of that always and everywhere and resolve that above all other things, we are to be set upon the building of God's kingdom. That's simple. And yet that profound. what the world needs from Mark and from each and every one of you is not for us to be brilliant. It doesn't need us to be successful or interesting or entertaining. What the world needs is for our lives to exude the love of God and for us to experience the ensuing joy which is always present when God's love is at work, manifesting itself in our lives. That joy is always there for us. Now, here at Christ Church, on this 250th anniversary, we need to affirm anew what my friend Carol Anderson has said. The parish church is the hope of the world. The world doesn't understand that today, but I do, and most of you do. This place, Christ Church, is the hope of the world, for it lifts up God and God's love for each of us to embrace and then to live out. This place is the hope of the world. As such, we are not called to build successful programs, or to be large or wealthy, or to have our properties well manicured, or certainly not to overly dwell on our cumulative past. We are called, each of us, all of us, to be holy, to live in a way that God's love is revealed primarily and always in who we are. Our Lord, and I'm so bold in saying this, our Lord, in summarizing all of his teachings, his life, his death, his relationship, the ascension and resurrection, all of that drawn together, all of that points in but one direction. There is nothing more important than that love. But make no mistake about it. I'm not talking about something as romantic, although there is that tinge in it all, I would guess. No, the kind of love of which I speak is radical. It is willing to humble itself over and over and over again. It is willing to lay aside its own preoccupations and its own selfish interests. It is willing to serve always in response to human need as we encounter it moment after moment in this earthly life. In God's kingdom, here on earth, that love alone is to determine and to define our every relationship, our every action, and we are called to seek to be always employed in the service of that love, of his love. Now, is it not true for each of you, as it is for this old preacher, that when I withdraw to a place deep within myself, I'm so often asking, how can I make some sense out of? And how can I contend with these crazy days in which we live? I believe that there is a resounding answer to that question. I believe it is an answer that needs to dwell at the very center of our being. We're pointed toward it in this gospel, but we arrive next week at Pentecost. Our Lord solemnly declares that we are not to be alone. The living God, God's Holy Spirit, is our companion, acting out in and through our lives, day in and day out, the love story, which is Jesus Christ. No more, no less. Thus, let us today, freshly, from a place in the center of our being, recognize anew the power of God's love working in us. Maya Angelou articulated it so well, the power of that love. It is a love that recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination full of hope, end quote. May your love transcend every barrier, leap every hurdle, overcome every obstacle, and with great hope, a dazzling, extravagant, unique, and brilliant hope born of your power to love. In all things, let it be in your questing to build in this age nothing less, nothing more than the very kingdom of God. May God continue to bless you, beloved of Christ Church. Amen. Amen.